is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Upon your face, our thankful lips. Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a very simple mandate that our Lord gave us. It's not real complicated. We're just to go. Somebody say go. We just need to go in the name of Jesus Christ. So we took a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah, we spoke about the battle of words and how we need to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We need to cast down every false ideology and all this political rhetoric. Come on, is somebody hearing me? And all these worldly philosophies that are out there today. You know, we need to cast those down and bring them into the knowledge of Christ, bring it down, everything against the knowledge of God, all every worldly ideology. Ephesians chapter 6, we looked at, I think it was last week we began, which is probably one of the most read, most quoted, most studied chapters in the Bible concerning spiritual warfare. However, as we learned prior to the verses 10 through 20, which we're going to look at today, because we like to study in context, somebody say amen. Amen. Because sometimes, how many of you know if you leave out some of the text, you get stuck with a con? So we want to read everything in context. But Paul deals with family matters before he deals with spiritual warfare, because most of our spiritual warfare is going to come right within the walls of our own home. That's the attack of the enemy. It's the first institution created by God was the husband and wife. Male and female, he created them. I don't care what the world says. There's no alternate choice there. It's male and female. He created them, and that was the marriage. And he said to go procreate. And so that is where the attack of the enemy is. So don't ever think that this LGBTQ is something about sexual freedom. It is not. It has nothing to do with affirmation. It's an attack on the Word of God, Genesis 1 and 27. So Paul deals with that, and he talks about fathers training up their children. How many of you know we need some godly fathers training up some of the children today? We need some godly men to show the younger guys how to cry and how to pray and how to worship. We need some of the older brothers to teach them what integrity is and what respect is and how to say thank you and no sir and yes sir and may I please. But it starts in the family. We talked about the place of employment where our spiritual warfare is going to take place. So these are the two main arenas that most of our spiritual warfare will take place. The last message, we talked about the devil and his scheming. The word in the Greek is methodia, meaning his strategies. And the Bible says we are not unaware of his schemes. We know the devil's schemes. We know his strategy. We just got to look in the Word of God. It's no surprise. Listen, in 6,000 years since Adam and Eve, the devil has not changed his strategy. He has not changed it. Because we see 4,000 years later when Jesus comes on the scene, he takes Jesus or the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And the Bible says that Satan challenged Jesus. He said, well, if the Word of God says, then do this. But how did Jesus combat him? Because he read the Word in context. The devil will always, that's why you hear some of these politicians bloviating and throw out scriptures here and there. Oh, he quoted, John 3:16. So what? The devil knows the Bible more than most Christians. So we're not unaware of his schemes. The Bible says he roams around like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour. So this morning, we're going to conclude our message on spiritual warfare. We're going to pick it back up in Ephesians chapter 6. So turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful for your presence here today. We are thankful for you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask now that you would open up our minds, open up our spirits, open up our spiritual ears that we might hear what you are saying in this hour, Lord God. Father, I ask that you would use this earthen vessel, Lord God, use these lips, this tongue, every breath that comes through this mortal body, Father God, to proclaim your truth in power and in might, Father. Lord, let your word come into us and let it be not just information, but let it be a revelation that will cause a transformation, that we might be transformed even into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, for that, we say thank you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in the matchless holy name of Jesus. And somebody said amen. 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 So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, and the Bible says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, it's against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let's stop there. So what is this battle, this war, this what are we wrestling against that Paul is speaking of? What are the goals of our enemy? What are our enemy's intentions? Because how many of you know in every natural war, in every natural battle, there are defined objectives of the engaged militaries. In the supernatural, what is your enemy? What is my enemy, the devil, trying to achieve? What is his intent? First of all, we need to establish something right here. The devil, if you're saved, cannot reclaim your salvation. He cannot reclaim your salvation. If you are truly born again, if you are saved, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're loving on Jesus and following him and obeying him, there is no way that he could snatch you from the Father's hand. Listen, Judah, that battle was won decisively on an old rugged cross outside the old city on a hill called Calvary 2,000 years ago. The matter is settled in heaven. And 3 days later, Jesus Christ put an exclamation point on it. Come on, somebody, when he came up from the grave. Come on, I have a couple slides here. I need you to follow me here, Caleb. Here's what your Bible says concerning that. Therefore, there is now no, somebody say no condemnation. For those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 33 goes on to say, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Somebody shout, no one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No, 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 no. In all things, somebody shout all things. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Judah, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let this be settled right here and now. There is no devil in hell that can snatch you from the love of our God's hand. I wish
wish somebody in here would give our God 15 seconds of praise. Hey! My God! Come on, it's settled in His Word. It's settled in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. My God. So the devil cannot take your soul. My God. You're secure in Jesus. Listen, saints of God, do you realize that we're fighting a battle that has already been won? The script is already written and the devil knows it. I'm going to prove it to you in the Word of God. Flip your Bible if you want to Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. We'll put it up on the screen. Remember, when Jesus cast the demons out of a man at the Gadarenes, the devil said to Jesus, here's what they said. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Every devil in hell knows. Every devil in hell knows there is a time coming, honey. The hourglass has been tipped over. The sand is dripping through. There's a time coming when they will be cast into outer darkness forever. And listen, their boss, their general, if you will, Lucifer, Satan, that old serpent knows it as well, that there is an appointed time coming. Why? Because the battle's over. It's already won. Somebody thank God. So for now, we need to learn how to battle during this in-between time, if you will. The devil can't snatch your soul, but he will try to thwart your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Because he does not want you to lead anybody else to Jesus Christ. So he's going to try to throw every monkey wrench into your marriage, every monkey wrench into your family, every monkey wrench into your workplace. He's going to try to set up roadblocks all along the way to cause you to slip and stumble. He's going to try to throw some old friends in your life. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody right here. Pastor, that person, they just keep calling me over. Listen, get a new phone number. That's an easy fix. Or do you want that? Come on, somebody. Sometimes we like when people are coming after us, don't we? Ooh-wee. Pastor, you better move on. So I want to talk to you this morning about the full armor of God. Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God, not just a part of it. So when, somebody say when, the day of evil comes. How many of you know the day of evil is coming? It's not an if. You're either in, you're going through, or coming out. He says not put just two pieces of armor on, but put the full armor. Somebody say full armor. There's no half-stepping to victory in Jesus. So Paul uses the imagery of a Roman soldier as an example to the local church to describe how we are to prepare for spiritual warfare, because everybody in that day knew what this fierce fighter looked like. They were everywhere. They were very intimidating. In other words, when you walked past a Roman soldier, you were making sure you were keeping your steps straight. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Paul uses this imagery as how the church should be dressed in the full armor of God. So when we're all dressed up, listen, in our spiritual armor, we become very intimidating to the camp of the devil. When we're prayed up, when we're fasted up, when our sword is sharpened on both sides, when we got the word and we're rightly dividing the word and we know how to quote the word and we're not ashamed to speak the truth of the word of God, all of a sudden, here comes Pastor DeLise. Ooh, those devils are shaking Because she's got the full armor of God. Oh, no, here comes Sister Laura. Oh, no, 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 no. And they start running. Because we because when we're dressed in the full armor, you now become intimidating to the devil. Stop letting that punk. I'm not saying that with any cockiness. I'm saying that as a matter of fact. He's a defeated foe. That's what my Bible tells me. And it's high time that we as the church put on the full armor of God and begin to walk in victory. My. So the first thing that Paul tells us to do, he tells us to put on the belt of truth. The belt of a Roman soldier's attire served as the foundation of the soldier's entire uniform. The belt did, including his armor, holding everything together, including his sword and his breastplate. So listen, saints of God, truth is our foundation. Our spiritual armor must be established in truth. Every piece of our lives must be held together by truth. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, is the father of lies. His first plan of attack, we're not unaware of his schemes, we're not unaware of his methodia, his methods. His first plan of attack is always to deceive you. You can take this all the way back to the first pages in your Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, did God really say? He's planting, listen, faith cometh by hearing, so does doubt. Be careful who you're listening to. See, Eve listened to the doubt, and she doubted God. Did God really say? It's the same method today. He has not changed his method. He questioned God's word. He was a deceiver then. He's a deceiver now. His game plan has not changed in all these millennial. He's predictable, and we know his schemes. So without the belt of truth, listen, every other piece of armor falls apart. We're left exposed and we become discombobulated. God forbid, listen to me, somebody, that we go into the battle without truth. Without truth, everything becomes unraveled. Without the truth of life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we might as well pack this up and go home. But it's truth. So our lives must be grounded in truth and the word of God so that we can detect every wind of doctrine that comes our way, that we can detect every crazy ideology, every trick of the enemy that blows our way. We must put it up to the word of God. We must put it up to the word of truth. So when somebody says LGBTQ, no, I don't see it in here. It says male and female. We must put it against the truth of the word of God. The devil cannot stand against the truth. For Jesus proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, Jesus Christ is the truth. He didn't say, I know truth. He didn't say, I'm going to show you truth. He didn't say, I have some truth. No, no, no. He said, I am the truth. There is no other. He is the belt of truth that holds all things together. Come on, somebody in the house. He is our belt of truth. Secondly, Paul says to put on a breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate was designed to protect the heart and the vital organs of the Roman soldier from a potentially fatal strike. So is our righteousness, to protect us from the fatal strike of the enemy. The problem is, our righteousness is as filthy rags. We got a problem, Houston. Our righteousness is no good for anything. Nothing. Nada. So we're left vulnerable to the arrows and the spears of our enemy. Enter in Jesus Christ, our new breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness that Paul is referring to was purchased for us by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Come on, Caleb. I think I have a slide up here. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says this. Watch. God made him who had no sin for us so that in him we might be... Oh, my God. That's good preaching right there, somebody. We might become the righteousness of God. The day you were saved, the day you called out to Jesus, the very minute we called on the name of Jesus, we were awarded a breastplate of righteousness. It was issued to us that we might now go fight the battle. Philippians 3:9 on the same slide, watch. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is our basis of faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Come on, somebody put your hands together and give him a praise in the house. Next, Paul speaks about our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. The Roman soldiers' feet were fitted with a heavily armored sandals, which gave him great traction and security in the heat of the battle. Our feet are what cause us to stand. Our feet, they're what cause us to have our balance. Come on, somebody. And the word of God saying, having done all to stand, stand some more. So our traction, our stability, our security, our ability to, listen, keep our balance in the heat of the battle is based in the peace of God, our Father, that he offered us through his one and only begotten Son, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Come on, is somebody seeing a theme here? Jesus is the one who will calm the raging storm. Jesus is my bridge over troubled water. Jesus is the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus is the good shepherd that will lead you beside the still water and put a table before you in the midst of our enemy. Jesus Christ is our peace, somebody. Now our feet not only cause us to stand, but they cause us to move forward. They're to help you to run this race that is set before us. Romans 10 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace so that they may take us to our neighbor and share the good news. They could carry us to our workplace to share the gospel. They could take us to Walmart or Giant Eagle to witness to somebody. They could take you into your doctor's appointment or your mechanic with the word of God. Listen, saints of God, we're on a mission. Yesterday, I was invited to speak at an outreach, and I shared this little tidbit. How many of you know what a drive-by is? I know you missed what I'm saying here, because I'm going to tell you, I know you all know what a drive-by is. Now I want to talk to you about a spiritual drive-by. See, a spiritual drive-by, and when I run into Joyce in a store, and I just start telling her about the goodness of Jesus and how good he's been to me and how faithful he's been to me and all have sinned, and I begin to share the gospel, you see, all the other people are hearing what I'm saying. Because that, listen, the word of God will go forth. It will accomplish what he sent it forth to do. He will watch over his word. You don't have to watch over the word. My brother, my sister, you just need the boldness to open up your mouth and say, I love Jesus. And please use the name Jesus. Stop it with the God. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? Because there's a lot of gods out there. When you say God bless you, they could be thinking of Brahma. Oh, but when you mention the name of Jesus, oh, you'll see some reaction there now. Jesus is very offensive. The cross is offensive. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to preach truth. I don't want to offend anybody. Then listen, find something else to do other than preaching the gospel on a Sunday morning if you're a pastor. Listen, if I'm not going to offend somebody here, I'm going to go buy me a nice set of golf clubs and go golfing on Sunday morning. It's my job to be offensive. Come on, church. I'm not trying to antagonize anybody. It's just that the cross of Jesus Christ is offensive because it reveals to a dying world lost in sin. And it also reveals one who died on that cross came to life again. And there's only hope in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. So it's very offensive to the world. So our feet cause us to go places. They carry us around the world. They carry us to the highways and byways to invite somebody to come in to the house of God. Isaiah 52:7, if you could throw this up there, Caleb. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet. Somebody say, are the feet. Of those who bring the good news, the gospel, those who proclaim peace, those who bring good tidings. We're talking about evangelism. Those who proclaim salvation, who say in Zion, our God reigns. Come on, somebody. So listen, please don't try to sell your husband or your boyfriend, my sister, that you need a new pair of pumps to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you need a new pair of stilettos or a $300 pair of Nikes to share. You don't need to go to Macy's or Amazon.com or DW or wherever you like to buy your footwear to have beautiful feet. I hope some ladies just got delivered right in that right there. You just need to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Come on, church. My God. Next, he says, a shield of faith. A shield of faith. We need to have a shield of faith. The Roman soldier, their shield was made of wood covered with leather. The leather would be soaked for hours in water prior to the battle so that it might extinguish flaming arrows that would come in contact with it. Just as we, our lives, we need to soak in the water of the word so that we may ward off the flaming arrows that come our way. Come on, how many of you got some flaming arrows coming your way? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Husbands, that's why we're instructed to make our wives holy. How? By cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Psalm 30:5 says, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. The more we soak in his word, the more we bathe in his holy presence, the more we fellowship with the saints of God, the stronger our shield of faith becomes. The more our faith is built, the more our faith is drenched in his word, the more effective that will be, the less effective the flaming arrows will have against us. The Roman shield at the time in the first century was called a scutum. A scutum. It's a type of shield that was as large as a door. It wasn't some little handpiece. It was a big piece of wood. And it would cover the warrior completely. I'm talking about faith. Y'all getting this? Amen? Now, I know most of you heard teachings that the sword was the only offensive weapon in the soldier's armor, but that's not
completely accurate. That's not completely accurate, okay? I'm gonna show you what I mean by that. I need a couple brother volunteers. Brother Kevin, can you come up here, brother? All right. All right, come on up here, brother. Come on, give Kevin a nice round of applause. All right, now Kevin, now you're going to be my adversary right now, okay? God has called me to something, but you need to prevent me from doing it.
Okay.
All right?
How do I do that?
I'm going to show you, okay? Here's.
I wasn't going to have to do karate.
Brother, I hope not. I want to finish preaching the message, brother. Okay, but here's the idea, okay? I want to preach the word of God. I need to get to my pulpit. But you need to oppose me. You need to not let me get there without karate. All right? Y'all follow me here. Okay, here we go. Ready? I want to get over there, man. You going to fight back a little bit? You don't hurt me, but yeah. All right, so he's all right, y'all got the picture here. All right, my adversary is not allowing me to preach the word and to get to my destination. Y'all with me? All right, I need a couple other brothers. Brother James, Brother Josiah, come on up. I need you stand right here, brother. Right here. Come on up here. All right. My mama didn't raise no fool. Come on, brother. Come on over here. Come on, Josiah. All right, Kevin, you're gonna stop me over here, brother. Come on, James. No, James, you stay there, Kevin. James, you're over here with me. Josiah, you're over here with me. All right, so here's how this is going to roll. See, the Roman soldiers, when they couldn't go against the enemy, they would lock arms. Come on now. Come on, my brothers, all right? And they would put their shields together. Now, brothers, listen. I got to get... All right? So you with me? All right. Now see, Kevin, I didn't just call any brothers. I called some brothers with some faith. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All right? So don't call on just any brother now. All right? So now, brothers, I need to get to that point. I need to preach the word of God today. Y'all ready? All right, we're going, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get to my pulpit today. Hallelujah. Come on, give these guys a big round of applause. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Bless you. You'll do it again? All right. But the Roman soldier, if there was a territory that they need to take, they couldn't do it by themselves. They would lock their shields of faith. Come on, I'm trying to talk to somebody right now. They would lock their shields of faith because Jesus said, wherever two or three agree, you shall have anything that you touch in my name, says Jesus Christ. So when you're going through the battle, my sister, my brother, lock your faith with somebody. Not just anybody. Get somebody with some strong faith. Don't call some murmurer, some complainer, some gossiper. Get to somebody who knows how to get to the throne of God. Come on, Judah. My God. So the shield of faith was used as an offensive weapon as well. And listen, I don't know if you noticed this, but when my brothers come up to help me, my confidence changed a little bit. Y'all with me? See, when you lock arms with your sisters, with somebody who knows how to, your confidence level changes a little bit. So the shield that the soldiers possessed, the faith, was not just a piece of defensive armor, but it could be used to push opponents back and take new territory. Even if the enemy has claimed some of our goods, even if the enemy has claimed some of your family, even if he has claimed your marriage, it's by faith we can go into the enemy's camp and take back somebody what he stole from me. Our feet go along with the shield of faith that we might move forward, fitted with the gospel of peace. Yes. and preach into new territories and into new lands. So this Roman shield was not just a defensive weapon, church. Especially when two or three would gather together, side by side, locked arms. When two or three of us could get together, put our faith together, our feet fitted with a gospel of peace, we could begin to march forward. So once was a struggle for a single soldier fighting for his life, he now turned it around to become offensive. When we lock our shields of faith together, we're no longer just a single soldier, but we then can become like an armored tank. Come on, y'all know this. If one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. If you agree, two or three agree on anything, you ask, Jesus says, I will do it for you by my Father in heaven. We're talking about faith. We're talking about coming together in unity. When we come together in one mind, in one accord, one purpose, and join our faith together with like-minded believers, it doesn't matter if you're black or white or brown or young or old, educated or not so educated, with or without money, when we no longer care who gets the credit, only God knows how much territory we can claim for his kingdom. Come on, Judah. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, our helmet of salvation, the armored helmet, was designed to protect the head of the soldier and more accurately, his brain. In our mind, in our brain is where most of our spiritual warfare is going to take place. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We worry about everything. Most of the battles we fight are between our ears. Most of these people that these battles will take place are either in your home or your place of employment. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3, we read this last week or a couple of weeks ago. For though we live in the world, we do not wage as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Alcohol addiction, opioid addiction, addiction to pornography or gambling, life-controlling issues, strongholds. Also could be thoughts or worldviews. I know you all heard this before. I was born a Catholic. I was raised a Catholic. I'm going to die a Catholic. Come on, you ever hear that before? It's a false ideology. It's a stronghold. Needs. Well, my mama did this. My grandmama did that. That doesn't make it right. But we, all of us, pull these things in from our past. That's why we need deliverance by the word of God. Strongholds show up as generational curses. Grandpa was a drunk. Uncle Joe was a drunk. My dad was a drunk. So I guess I'll be a drunk. My grandpa was broke. My daddy was broke. I'm going to be broke. We demolish arguments, listen, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive and make it obedience to Christ. So this battle that we are fighting, saints of God, is in our mind and it's in our thoughts. So thank God we've been given a helmet of salvation to protect our minds from this onslaught of propaganda and the lies that the devil spews. And in case you don't know, the Jewish name for Jesus is Yeshua. Yeshua, simply translated, means salvation. Huh. My Bible tells me that we have the mind of Christ, that we have a helmet, our salvation. It's our salvation in Jesus Christ that keeps us sane today. Amen. Lastly is the sword of the Spirit. Although the shield of faith can be used as an offensive weapon, it's the sword of the Spirit which we wield, which is the word of God, whereby we can do the most damage to the kingdom of darkness. However, two things, don't miss this. Number one, you must take your sword out of the sheath for it to do any good. What does that mean, Pastor? You got to open your mouth. Romans 1 and 16. I will not be ashamed. Please don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. So you have to speak the word. Number two, it's up to us to make sure that we keep our weapons sharp. Know how to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. Unfortunately, listen, saints of God, that's why we have so much collateral damage in the body of Christ today. Because the word of God is not rightly divided. Especially now that we have the internet and YouTube and Facebook and TikTok and Snapchat. Somebody hears a preacher give a cute little slogan that's not founded in whole truth, or they come out with some whole new crazy doctrine about the stars and the planets, but it does not square with the full counsel of God. It's not rightly divided, and they go on wielding it around, causing a whole lot of damage and confusion concerning the things in the kingdom of God. Please don't take everything, even if you're watching by this broadcast, don't take every word that I speak as absolute truth. I am not, as Paul was not, above the Bereans. Check it out. There's so much deception in the word in the world today. In the church, we were talking about this before service today. Jesus says, didn't we prophesy in your name? Or that they came to Jesus. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do great miracles? These things were done. They prophesied. They cast out devils. And they did miracles in the name of Jesus. What did Jesus reply to them? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Gnosko in the Greek. Meaning like Adam and knew Eve, and they gave that kind of intimate relationship. That kind, it's not a head knowledge. Because how many know there's a whole lot of people that have head knowledge of something. But we're talking about a marital relationship with Jesus. We're talking about a bride and a bridegroom. So there's so much deception out there today, saints of God. We need to be Bereans. We need to have our face buried in the word of God. Our sword needs to be sharp always. Somebody say amen. Amen. But my God, when we know how to rightly divide his word, when we know how to speak it with love and compassion and humility and authority, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, alive and full of energy, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And then he closes with these three verses. Chapter 6, verse 18 in Ephesians. After you've did all these things, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Do you think Paul was trying to get a point across here? For all the Lord's people, pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly, boldly, unashamedly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, and pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Amen. Even Paul had some trepidation. That's why he wanted our prayers. Not our prayers, but the saints back in the day. He wanted the prayers that he would speak. Remember, he wrote this letter from a prison. He didn't say, pray that they give me better meals. Pray that I could have a better jail cell. Pray that I could have a better jailmate. Pray that I could have a color TV. Pray. Could you imagine the guard who was chained to Paul? If that brother didn't get saved, there ain't no hope for him, man. Because you know he was going to hear the gospel. But that was Paul saying, pray for me that I might share the gospel with boldness and in clarity. Let me finish this right with this last verse here. Psalm 149. So listen, church, our armor must be bathed in prayer. We must pray for the boldness that we might proclaim the word of God fearlessly as we should, because it's the word of God whereby we win battles. It's the word of God that sets the captives free. It's the word of God that delivers the drug addict and the alcoholic and the lazy-minded who won't go to work. Oh, it addresses everything like that in the word of God, somebody. It's the word of God that breaks generational curses and turns fathers' hearts back to their children. It's the word of God that binds the wounded and heals the brokenhearted. Psalm 149, watch this. May the praise of God be in their mouths, Judah. How many of you know praise is a spiritual weapon? We're talking about spiritual warfare here, y'all. Let the praise of God be in their mouths. And the double-edged sword, which is the word of God, in their hands, to inflict vengeance. This is all offensive. Y'all with me? To inflict vengeance on the nations or principalities, the punishments on the spiritual wickedness in high places, to bind their authorities with fetters and their powers of darkness with shackles of iron. Verse 9, to carry out, here it is, the sentence already written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Come on, Judah, this is speaking to you. I wish somebody in the house would give our God a praise right there. The battle is won. It's already written against them. The devils know it. Satan knows it. The angels know it. How many of you know? The church needs to know it. This is a battle already won. We need to get that praise on our lip. Praise instead of pout. Worship instead of worry. Glorify instead of gossip. Find somebody who will lock arms with you, who is like-minded in your faith, that's not afraid to go to battle, that's not afraid to get up at 5 a.m. Come on, somebody. There's a pitch for you. But we come together, church. There is not, listen, historically throughout the world, there is no, I'm just going to use this word loosely, organization as the Church of Jesus Christ that has had such an impact all over this earth. Amen. From feeding the poor to building hospitals, we could go on, in orphanages all over the world. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. We are a force when we are together. It's written in his word. We need to get that revelation. We need to buck up. We need to put on our full armor of God. And we need to take our feet that are shod with the preparation of, and start marching with somebody with our shield of faith locked arm in arm. Amen. Come on, give our God a great big praise in this house this morning. Stand to your feet, please.
Surround me. proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation. To proclaim.